All across the Roman Empire, people were on the move. People around the world were traveling to their places of birth. And to travel in those days, before there were planes and cars and trains, it required days, weeks, and sometimes even years to complete the journey, and great preparations had to be made. It disrupted many lives across the empire, but few were concerned about the situation as much as was the small business owner in Nazareth called Joe's Construction. In fact, Joseph had a real issue. His fiancée was pregnant, and it wasn't his child. Oh, he knew what the angel had said, and he was absolutely going to marry her. But she was due in just a short time, and it would take a while to get back to his place of birth because Bethlehem was a good way from Nazareth. He had gone through all the channels, and at every turn he was told, "Sorry, sir, Caesar said it had to be this way, and we just can't help you." So now Joseph was packing everything up, getting ready for the journey. At least he had been able to buy a good donkey, and so maybe Mary would be okay. They began the journey. Mary on the back of the donkey and Joseph walking beside her. Today the journey would only take an hour or so, depending on your love for speed. But in that day, traveling 65 to 70 miles was a long way. And it would take as long as a week to arrive to their destination. The only way they could arrive was to get started, and so they began step by step. After many uncomfortable days and nights, the moment finally came when they topped the last rise and could see down into the town of Bethlehem. The prophet Micah had been right. It was a small town, a town that meant little to most. The majority of the population wanted the lights and action of Jerusalem just a few miles down the road. Mary looked at the small town laid out before them, and it was quiet. It was still. There was coming a time when this town would be covered with soldiers. The wailing of mothers and crying of children would be heard as Herod sought to destroy a young king prophesied to be born in this small town. But that time was not yet, and today the town was quiet, peaceful. Uncomfortable from the long journey, her pregnant body weary and ready for real rest, Mary just wanted to get down there and lay down somewhere, anywhere. Joseph, feeling her impatience, tugged on the lead, and he and the donkey started walking down the last quarter mile into the town in which he had grown up. Joseph was going home. Yes, Bethlehem lay quiet, not knowing what was about to happen in their midst. Not knowing that the prophet's words were going to come to pass in just a short time. In fact, Caesar and Joseph and Mary, the entire empire was simply following the will and word of God. The chosen woman was Mary. The chosen man was Joseph. The chosen town was Bethlehem. Would you join us in singing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem"?
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and
As they got closer to the town, they could smell the many fires in the houses and see the glow of candlelight in the windows of the closed up homes. Passing by the first few dwellings on the edge of town, they began to hear the murmur of voices from inside and soft laughter as families fellowshipped around the dinner table. Joseph knew where the village inn was located, or at least where it used to be. So he made his way quickly down the streets until he arrived at his destination. Carefully, he helped Mary down from the donkey and they made their way into the inn. The innkeeper heard the door open and, looking up, saw this man enter leading a very pregnant lady by the hand and holding the door open for her to enter, and a look of concern crossed his face. He moved across the floor to greet them. "May I help you?" he asked. "Yes," Joseph said. "We would like a room, please." "I'm sorry, sir," said the innkeeper. "There are so many people coming into town that everything is completely full. I don't have a room to offer you." "Do you know of any place we could stay?" asked the weary Joseph. The innkeeper's brow furrowed in thought. "Not really," he said. Mary sat down heavily in a nearby chair and groaned with frustration and simple aggravation. She really didn't know how much further she could go. What was Caesar thinking, making everybody travel around like this? How could he? Her thoughts trailed off as she heard the innkeeper say, "I may have one idea." He led Joseph back out the door they had just entered and around the inn until they reached the back side. Facing them from across the courtyard stood a stable. It was backed up against a small hill that rose quickly in an almost cliff-like surface before leveling off at its peak. It was not big, but it looked sturdy and well-kept. The innkeeper led Joseph into the stable and said, "How about staying here? I won't charge you a full rate for your stay, and at least you'll be warm." Looking around, Joseph saw the 8 stalls lining the walls and a small area in the back, which was obviously for storage. Moving into the storage area, the innkeeper grabbed the gear off the walls and removed the shovels and the rakes, placing them by the front door. He broke open a fresh bale of straw and scattered it over the ground. By this time, Joseph was getting moving as well. He lined up the remaining bales in parallel rows until he had formed a surface large enough to lie down upon. Then leaving the stable, he returned with the blanket that Mary had been wrapped in for the long journey. Returning, he saw that the innkeeper had placed several candles and holders upon the walls and had swept up the path between the stalls, making the stable as neat and clean as ever. Looking at everything before getting Mary, Joseph saw the 2 cows in the stalls closest to the storage room. He felt something brush against his leg and, looking down, saw the young lamb with its head extended as far as possible, trying to nibble on his robes. Chuckling, he reached down and patted the small head and walked on, passing the family of chickens in the stall with the old donkey that obviously belonged here and the rest of the stalls that were filled with the traveling animals of those staying in the inn. By our standards today, staying in the stable would hardly be acceptable. But for people who live closely with beasts of burden in a largely agrarian culture, this was not terrible. And after a long journey that included camping outdoors on more than one occasion, this at least kept the wind and cold at bay. Finally, Joseph led his exhausted wife into the now warmly lit room and helped her arrange herself on the straw bed. We're not informed if it was the first or second night after arriving in Bethlehem that Mary started labor, or if it was many weeks that passed. But we do know that the day came when Mary said, "Joseph, I think it's time. I think the baby is coming." And they awaited the birth of the Christ child. In those days, there were not all the sounds and noises that we have become accustomed to in our modern day, and people began to settle down around sundown for the night. The night was a time of peace, a time of tranquility, with none of the sounds that we're familiar with in our busy lives. The stars would be bright. Their soft light reflecting possibly upon the carpet of snow. The stable was warm, with only the soothing sounds of livestock moving about their stalls to be heard, their slow, methodical breathing setting a calm rhythm, and their hooves giving accents. The low clucks of the fowl as they stirred in their slumber was accompanied by the occasional soft bleating of the lambs. This was the melody and harmony making up the fanfare that greeted the entrance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon his physical arrival on the earth. No doubt, as the contractions began in earnest and the labor pains intensified, Mary's voice joined in the chorus in the stable that night. The pain that she experienced in delivery would be nothing in comparison to the pain that she would feel when she watched her sinless son take on the sin of all mankind and hang them upon a cross. But that time was not yet. And for now, she wrapped her son in warm clothing and laid him in a manger. Would you join us in singing Away in a Manger?
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look.
There he lay, a scrunched up little face, a fist in the air, eyes shut, and feet moving in slow, aimless kicks. King of Kings. He lay there in the manger, his every move rustling the clean straw in the company of his loving parents and welcomed by the barn animals. Lord of Lords. We don't know what time they arrived, but there came a timid knocking at the door and a soft inquiring voice saying, "Hello, hello." Joseph rose to his feet from his resting place beside Mary, moving slowly, trying to be quiet, trying to quiet the knocking and the talking before it woke the baby. It was his intention to find out quickly what this person wanted and then send him on his way. But when the door creaked open, he saw the face not of one man, but of several. Their dress told Joseph that they had been outside for a while. And looking at their staves, Joseph, the experienced carpenter, could tell that they were shepherds. The thought sprang into his mind. There is no room in the stable for the sheep that these men keep. His protective instinct arose up within him. He would not allow these men to make Mary and the baby any more uncomfortable than they already may be. Just as his mouth was opening to warn them away, the lead shepherd's soft, penetrating words moved through the fog of decision and determination and even protection that had overcome Joseph in that moment. And they all ebbed away, vanishing as he heard, "Sir, is the Savior here? Sir, is the Savior here?" In that moment, all the events of the past year came back to Joseph. The angel that had appeared to Mary, telling her of the child to be born. The days of concern and indecision on his part after being told of God's plan. The vision in the night when the angel had said what was coming to pass was of God and not to fear. Even the name had been foretold. The name Jesus. The name that meant Jehovah is salvation. The name that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said that his name would be called Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. He had been so caught up in preparing a place to stay and keeping in the baby and Mary comfortable that he had failed to remember to appreciate the greatness of what was taking place here. Joseph stood with his head tilted forward, his hair hanging down into his eyes and total exhaustion showing clearly upon his face. But as the shepherds looked at him expectantly, they saw the tear that collected in the corner of his eye, and they heard the awe in his voice as he whispered, "Yes, he's here. The Savior is here." Joseph returned to Mary and gently woke her. "Mary, Mary, there are people here. They want to see Jesus. They want to worship him. They want to worship him. They have asked to see the Savior." In time, many would ask. Some would demand. Some would ask in need. And some would ask in love. Some would ask in anger. Some would demand to see him who hated him. And some would serve him. And some would arrest him. But that time was not yet. Moments later, as they knelt around the manger, each trying to make sure that they had a clear view, they recounted the story of the angels who had informed them of the arrival of the Christ child. One of them shyly caught the eye of Mary and asked, "Ma'am, is his name Savior?" Mary smiled timidly at the shepherd for the first time and spoke the name of the one who would change history to the world that would never truly receive him. And she said, "No, his name is Jesus." Would you join us in singing Jesus, name above all names?
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Savior, glorious. Jesus, Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word,
Emmanuel,
Emmanuel, God is with us, our blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Yes, they were the first, but not the last. Years later, it would be the wise men who searched for the child. They would begin Herod on his search for the king that would be born. Herod's search would result in Joseph and Mary and Jesus fleeing from Bethlehem and going to Egypt to live there for several years. But that time was not yet. Now it was the animals in the stalls and a few rough shepherds, not really sure how to act in the presence of a king who was a baby lying in a manger. But when they left, once again, the night was silent. Would you join us in singing Silent Night?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
The night was silent in the physical world, but the spiritual world was anything but quiet. For with the birth of this child, the prophetic utterance of Jehovah had come to pass. The one who would destroy the works of the devil had finally arrived. The pain of sin created sorrow in the hearts of mankind. But now the night was over. Joy had come into the world. Life had arrived. hope was here. The lion had come from the tribe of Judah, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace was among us. And John chapter 1, verse number 14 said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Sadness and sorrow had held all authority, but now joy was in the earth. Joy had finally arrived. Can we stand and sing Joy to the World?
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Joy to the world!
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Now, can I tell you the good news? Since the Lord came, the joy that they had on that day is present on this day. While he was born, he had not yet died. It was his death that would release you and I from the sting of sin and death. But he had to arrive before he could die. We celebrate the birth of Jesus because we know of the joy that can come in the morning. The Bible says that sorrow may last for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. So when does joy start in your life? It begins when you allow Jesus' birth to mean something in your life and go into Christmas, not just saying, I get more presents, but go into Christmas saying, the greatest present of all has been given to me. And can I tell you tonight that if you don't know the Savior, like many of us know the Savior, you can. May I suggest that while the shepherds had to find him and knock upon the door and ask, Sir, is the Savior here? You stand in a much better place. You stand in a place where there is still someone knocking at the door. There is still a voice calling. But that voice isn't asking about the whereabouts of a Savior. Instead, it is a warm, loving voice full of power and authority. And that voice is asking, Sir, ma'am, I am the Savior. Are you willing to let me in? Are you willing to give me a place in your life? And if you do not know the Savior today, I cannot think of a better Christmas present to give yourself than to allow Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to ask you, if you would right now, just bow your heads with me. And if you're in this house today and you've never allowed him, never made that decision in your life, then I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. So we're going to pray together, because here at McCord, we don't want anybody to have to pray alone. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to just repeat it after me and mean it in your heart. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again. I believe that you did that for me. And so today, I repent of all my sins. I turn away from it. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, you are my God, and I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we thank God for what he's done in this house today?